Last Lord's Day evening, we looked at these words in verse 20 concerning the Lord Jesus. A bruised reed shall he not break. We saw that it was another way of saying what he says of himself in chapter 11 and verse 29. I am meek and lowly of heart. In other words, our Lord is tender and gentle by nature, and he treats people accordingly. A bruised reed is a picture of someone fragile and sensitive for various reasons, and the Lord respects this and is never heavy-handed or rough in his treatment. And it is implied that in not breaking the bruised reed, he will rather deal with that kind of person in such a way as to strengthen and encourage and build up and change that person to make them whole. And we can see that this is how the Lord treats people. We read the four Gospels. The wonderful thing that comes over is the approachableness of our blessed Lord. People in genuine need, bruised reeds, always felt safe putting their case into his hands. Enquirers like Nicodemus, those afraid like the disciples on the boat in the storm, the guilty, like the woman taken in adultery, the fallen, like Simon Peter, who denied him, the depressed, like the disciples, after the crucifixion, all bruised reeds found in Jesus one who, far from shattering and virtually making an end of them, rather someone who strengthened and built up, blessed and healed. And so his words in John 6 and verse 37 are always true. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, it is true that there were those whom Jesus sent away with nothing. But in that case, they were people who were not sincere. There were would-be disciples who were not wholehearted in their desire to follow Jesus, and they had some secret idol or sin that they would not be prepared to give up for our Lord, like the rich young ruler. Rabbi Duncan, the Scottish theologian and minister of the last century, he said this once: Jesus never casts out those who come, but he searches all who come. And that's important. It's not enough to come to Christ, not enough to seek the Lord Jesus and pray to him to make you a Christian. The Lord searches, and he can quite see if there is not really a genuine willingness to give up the world, to take up the cross, to give up everything that Jesus might be Lord and Saviour. And therefore those who came, and our Lord could see quite clearly they weren't real, they went away again with nothing. But those who came with that felt need and were willing to put themselves wholly into Christ's hands for him to save them, they were always welcome, and he did not break the bruised reed. Of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, they came to him, but all their concern was to trip him up in his words and to get him to say things that they could then tell the Romans about, so Jesus would be accused of rebellion against the government and he would be in trouble with the authorities. And he saw through that, and he dismissed them with his words of wisdom, and he denounced them for their hypocrisy and their wickedness. But never the genuinely needy were ever sent away. A bruised reed will he not break. And bruised reeds, needy sinners, those with a great heart burden, who want Christ to meet their need truly and genuinely, he will never break the bruised reed. Our trouble is not that our blessed Lord is not prepared to receive us and minister to us. Our trouble is that we don't want all of Christ, and we're not convinced that we need him and him alone. Well now, the bruised reed shall he not break. Let's look at this second part of what is said of him here in verse 20. And smoking flax shall he not quench. Now here is another metaphor. The same illustration of his character, but it's a new application. Flax is a plant that grows about 2 feet tall, has small leaves and blue flowers, and in those days, as still today, it was used to make linen yarn. It went through a process and it was spun into linen fibres. But flax was also useful for the wicks of oil lamps. The lamps of Bible times would be made of pottery, a pottery body, with a hole on the end. It would be filled with olive oil, and a length of wax was put through the hole. The end would be submerged in the olive oil. The top of the wax wick would poke through the hole, and the oil would seep up the wick, and you could light the end of the end of the flax, and it would burn, and that would be your lamp and your main illumination in the home, the oil lamp and the flax wick. In Matthew 25 we read of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise that had oil in their lamps, the 5 foolish that did not make sure they had enough oil and their lamps went out. It was that kind of lamp that they used. Now here you have a picture. And smoking flax shall he not quench. The picture is of this lamp and it's burning low. There's either little oil or a dirty wick. There's only small flame and much black vapour. It's not much use. It's even offensive as the black smoke rises up. It's an important means of light, the vital only means of light at night time, but it's not serving its purpose as it should. Smoking flax. Now this, like the bruised reed, describes people. It's a metaphor to depict a certain kind of person. And again you see the character of our blessed Lord. Smoking flax shall he not quench. What is this saying? Who is this describing? Let's look first of all at the picture. Smoking flax shall he not quench. The wick is burning low. It's smouldering, flickering, ready to go out. Normally you'd snuff that out and you'd cut the wick down so it would be clean, or you'd put more oil in the lamp, whichever was the problem. But always with the smoking flax there would be that snuffing of it out, and it's dealing with it to make it what it should be. But our Lord here, it is said, does not quench the smoking flax. It stands for believers because the lamp is fed with oil. And oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit who indwells Christians. Romans 8 verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you're a Christian, you've been born again because the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. He indwells you and brings the life of God into your soul. And you have the oil, the Spirit of God within you. You have an unction from the Holy One. You are a Christian. You're like Jesus, Christos, the Anointed One. You are a Christian. And you have the anointing of the Spirit and the Spirit dwelling in you as well. This is a picture, surely, of a Christian. It's a step further from the bruised reed last time. The bruised reed stands especially for a sinner, a convicted, broken sinner who comes to Jesus for mercy and finds mercy. But here the smoking flax is more particularly the Christian. It's an advance on the previous metaphor. Here is someone who belongs to the Lord, who has the Holy Spirit, but is a very needy case. There's not a clear, clean flame. There's not a bright, shining life and testimony for Christ. Smoking flax. Now you can have that. You can be a real Christian. You can have the Spirit, and you are His. But there can be much that is lacking in your life. It can stand, for one thing, for believers in a very low spiritual state. Smoking flax. That bright little tongue of flame and light is mostly hidden by smoke. Grace is very low. More fumes than flame. Not like John the Baptist, concerning whom it was said, he was a burning and a shining light. But here is smoking flax. Now, a new believer, in a way, is like that. And it's good to remind ourselves of this. When someone is first converted, they first receive the Spirit, and they're alive unto God, and they make the first steps in the Christian way, the evidences of life and grace are usually very small. When we light the fire at home in the grate and you put the lumps of coal on, and before the thing really gets going, all that you see is smoke going up the chimney. And sometimes Margaret lights the fire and I've been out, and I walk up to the house from somewhere, I look up at our chimney, I see smoke billowing out the chimney. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just that the fire has not got started yet, and there is more smoke than anything else. But the thing is that there is the flame, there is the life there, and there is the potential, and it will burn up. And it's like that in new Christians. There is not always, at the beginning, all the grace that we'd like to see, all the progress, all the evidences, sometimes more fumes, smoking than the flame and the fire. After all, Philippians 1 verse 6, he who hath begun a good work in you. It has to be the beginning. It doesn't mean to say there won't be the performance of that good work by God's grace, but there's a beginning, and the beginning sometimes can be very small, and it doesn't always show itself clearly, straight away. Maybe you look back on your own conversion and you perhaps can't pinpoint exactly when it was. There was, you hope, some fire, but there was a lot of smoke. When was it that you were really born again? Was it when you professed, or was it perhaps a while afterwards? It's not always clear for many people. Well, dear friends, it teaches us to be very patient with new Christians. Here is someone who professes to have been converted. There's a lot of the old life left still. The habits, the thoughts, the ways, the attitudes. Be very careful. that you don't judge and condemn and say that person can't be a Christian after all. Be patient. Jesus does not quench the smoking flax, dear friends. And he can see the life of God begun, and he can raise it to a flame and bring out the evidences of grace. He performs the good work. There have been cases, haven't there? Not in this church, as far as I know, but there have been cases in churches where, say, a young person has professed to be a Christian, and older Christians, adults, have looked on very critically, and have pinpointed this, that and the other, and have been so heavy-handed and insensitive that that poor person has almost been quenched and snuffed out, terribly discouraged, maybe even left the church. But Jesus would be very patient and have his people so, and smoking flax shall he not quench. That's a picture of one thing. Another could be this. Sadly, a backslidden believer can be in this case. And what's happened here is, dear friends, a terrible decline. The oil is very low. In other words, certain things have been allowed in the life which have grieved the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit has withdrawn his influences temporally from that backsliding believer. And because the oil is low, there's little to feed the flame. And there's very little light there. And the flame of faith and love is not burning brightly. Maybe unconfessed sin, which has been allowed. Some sin has been secretly cherished and refused to be given up. Some worldly snare has entangled the time and energy and money and strength and been drawn away from the Lord by this thing. Maybe some soured relationship has eaten into the relationship between the believer and the Lord, because what we are on the horizontal with our fellow Christians affects what we are on the vertical with our Lord himself. And you can't deliberately hold an unforgiving spirit towards somebody and expect to be in sweet fellowship with him. And the spirit is grieved, and it shows. Brightness, usefulness is dimmed. Smoking flax. And people look on with sadness as they see that once bright Christian life very low, very different. Maybe that Christian seeks to outwardly at any rate pretend all is well and carry on as usual, but he knows and others know that there is a decline that's been allowed to set in, and there's a loss. But dear friends, even here, a bruised reed shall he not break, and also smoking flax shall he not quench. The patience of our Lord with the backslider, the patience of our Lord with the Christian who cherishes some heart idol, the patience of Christ with some believer who's even in rebellion against him and going into the world. Jesus will not snuff him out, even though fellow Christians might lose patience with him and could wish that somehow he'd just do anything. And maybe harsh words are said and unkind things are done, but Jesus is not like that. Our Lord will take whatever course is necessary in order to bring that believer to repentance. But there will be never ever that quenching of the smoking flax. And we have found it, dear friends, haven't we? We have had our backslidings. We have declined in spiritual life. And we've not always been what we should be. But we have found that our dear Lord, in his dealings with us, has been gentle and patient and considerate. And though we have felt sometimes that he's dealt with us firmly and rigorously, yet it's true that never did we think that he was going to make an end of us, or cast us off, or finish with us. How he wonderfully replenished us and revived us, cleansed us and made us right. A smoking flax shall he not quench. My dear friend, if you go on in your sin and backsliding, you will find Christ will have his way with you. It may cost you dear. He may well look at your dirty wick, and he may cut into your life with painful providences, and he may have to cut away things, or he may replenish the oil and give you the supply of the Spirit and convict you of your sin by the working of the Spirit and bring you to a bitter repentance. But he will not quench you and snuff you out. How wonderful this is. Sometimes, and it's not an unhealthy condition to feel like this, sometimes we wonder why our Lord bothers with us. We are such failures. We're so waxing hot and cold. We're so inconstant and inconsistent. But all he's interested in is getting that wick clean and the supply of the Spirit, the oil, to be replenished and to raise us to a flame. Thank God for his wonderful dealings. He sees that the brightness and the usefulness is dimmed, but he will restore again. He will have his way. The smoking flax shall he not quench. We can see another aspect to this, which is very real. Sometimes, dear friends, we can suffer a dimming by the fact that we become overwhelmed by things. It's interesting when you look at the disciples, Mark 16, verse 10, for instance, and verse 11, how that when our Lord was crucified, and before the truth of the resurrection really changed them, Mark 16 verse 10, they were wallowing in deep sorrow. Oh, how broken they were in their spirit, how almost despairing they were. Their Lord had been crucified, all their hopes had gone. Nothing left now to look forward to, no future as far as they were concerned. All they could feel was that heavy-heartedness and the unbelief that kept them like that. Mary Magdalene brings the disciples the good news. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept that Jesus was alive. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, believed not. Why was that? Well, you see, because they were so swallowed up with sorrow, they were so overwhelmed by grief, that even the best news in the world could not make an impression upon them. In other words, the flame had gone down so much, they had been overwhelmed, smothered by the sorrow of our Lord's crucifixion, that they could not be roused and raised up by the best news, even a witness to the fact in Mary Magdalene that Jesus was alive. She'd seen him, but they believed her not. It can be like that sometimes, dear friends. Things get on top of us, and we can sink down in our spirits and become so dejected that somehow spiritual things don't get through to us and don't make an impression and don't bless us. And you wonder at the Lord's patience. All the precious promises in his word and all the blessings that he would give us and all his faithfulness towards us.
And somehow we can't rise to them. And we're dimmed and almost smothered, but smoking flax shall he not quench. See how our Lord was with the disciples? He made sure that they believed that he was alive. He appeared unto them himself. And even Thomas, who was so unbelieving and would not accept that truth, he made a special visit to Thomas to show himself alive. And he got through, and he revived their faith, and he restored their confidence and joy. And our Lord will do that. He will not quench, but raise us to a flame. And one further way that we can be reduced and dimmed and be so provoking, it seems, with the vapour and smoke is by this means. When we become offended at the Lord's dealings with us, we read in Matthew 11, just the previous chapter, that John the Baptist had been put into prison. And there he was languishing in his cell. Was Jesus the Messiah after all? Where are the great deliverances? Where is the appearing of the kingdom? Where is all the fulfillment of what John had been led to expect as he announced the coming of Jesus? And he sent two disciples to Jesus. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Matthew 11 verse 3. And dear friends, he must have got to a very, very low state to have seriously doubted that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Another? And Jesus sends the two disciples back with that message for John. But then at the end of the message come these words in verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And that was necessary. You see, John's great temptation was to be offended, to stumble over the fact that things had not quite worked out the way he expected concerning the Christ. And he was even ready to doubt that he was the Christ, and maybe some other should come now. After all, who was the Christ? Blessed, says Jesus, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Dear friends, it's terribly possible. It's terribly possible one day to be burning brightly for Christ in our confidence concerning him, and then for the Lord to do something in our lives which in his high sovereignty he has been pleased to do, and for it to seem to be something most unacceptable and unwelcome, and we are tempted to be offended at it. We stumble over it. This is too much to cope with. This was not expected. This doesn't seem to be appropriate or consistent. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. We read in the scriptures of the mystery of his will. He's the Lord. He reserves the right to do as he pleases in heaven and in earth and the deep places under the earth. Yes, and in your life and in mine as well. And sometimes there might be things that stagger, beggar the mind, and seem to provoke rebellion and resentment in us, and maybe lead us to feel this is just too much. Can't take this. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Sometimes you find that the most gracious and fruitful believers are the ones who are afflicted and tried the most. I know, and perhaps you know as well, of outstanding Christian people, but my word, the trials in their lives, health struck, family sorrow, material financial problems and worries, terrible blow, devastating thing. Blessed, says Jesus, is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Can you accept it? Can you bow to him as Lord? And can you gratefully acknowledge his wisdom and his love and his right to do this? And that he's having his way and it's for your good? Sometimes, you see, we can't. And we go into ourselves and we become quietly resentful toward the Lord. We wouldn't say or admit that, but that's what it is. And our devotion declines. And we're not so careful in our walk with him. And material, worldly things are looked to for a little bit of light relief and pleasure now, instead of the Lord being our all in all. How provoking this must be. Smoking flax, he shall not quench. He was very patient with John the Baptist. He's so patient and wise in his dealings. We might balk at the mystery of his will, but the Lord, seeing the smoke, will yet bear with us and teach us better and make things clear and explain things. Thinking of Jonah, remember Jonah? When he went to Nineveh eventually and all the city was converted from the king right downwards, and then Jonah sat outside the city displeased and very angry, and he turned on the Lord and he said, Lord, I knew that you were loving and gracious and merciful and were willing to spare this city if I preached to them. And the smoking flax, the ugly, foul-smelling vapours of rebellion, and it all came out of Jonah's heart, kicking against God's purposes. Can't accept that God would set his love upon a Gentile heathen nation like Assyria and want Nineveh to be converted, and all of it, all the venom and hatred comes out. And God in Jonah chapter 4, he says, shouldn't I have mercy upon this city? All these children, little ones, that can't tell the difference between their right and left hands, and the much cattle, the smoking flax. Should he not quench the amazing patience of God? What he has to bear with from us. The things we think, the things we've sometimes said to express our displeasure perhaps towards him. Oh, thank God that he is like this. We would not put up with a fraction of what the Lord puts up with us. We would snuff it out. But our Lord will not do that. The picture of his amazing patience. Dear friends, we're subject to so many alterations. We start life as new Christians, as smoking flax. We decline into backsliding, and we're the same. We're overwhelmed by things. We're offended at his dealings. Ah! He is so patient. He treasures the spark of grace. He sees the flame. He sees all the potential. And he calmly trims our wick, replenishes our oil, raises up the light again, restores us, and makes us what we should be. Dear friends, we're in his hands. I like to think of that. This smoking flax, it's the oil lamp, but one is holding the lamp. Our blessed Lord has the lamp in his hand. It's his lamp, his flax, and our lives are in his hand. And we're subject to his treatment and dealings. And he shall not quench us. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord shall perfect that which concerneth me. Lord, forsake not the work of thine own hands, says David. The picture of his marvellous patience. Let me conclude with this other thought, and it's this. There's the pattern, dear friends, here. Surely this is something for us to follow. Smoking flax shall he not quench. Why is that there? For our own comfort, but for our example as well. If you and I have found him to be like this, then do ensure that we treat others in exactly the same way. You will see plenty of smoke in your fellow believers. Plenty of smoke. And there's a great danger of judging, writing off, impatiently making our pronouncements. But he shows us a pattern of patience and forbearance. We're not in the business of quenching, discouraging, putting people down, treating people hastily and harshly. 1 Corinthians 13, love, charity, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Charity, that sweet grace which believes the best about others in spite of the vapours that may be there to cloud the picture. The smoking flax we should not quench. A believer is a believer. There's the spark, there's the flame. Where there is smoke, there is fire, thank God. And it's true in the realm of grace. Let's not be too quick to make our pronouncements upon others, or indeed upon ourselves. Let's not be too harsh upon ourselves. We are what we are by the grace of God. Anything of light that's there is not natural and is put there by his divine work. Jesus can see it. Jesus loves it. Jesus recognizes his own work and he can further it. And we can be the same towards ourselves and towards others. Mutual love and understanding, patience and forbearance. There's the pattern for us. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, there is a lovely verse about the Lord Jesus, and the margin rendering of it puts it like this, and it can be rendered either way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Patiently waiting for our Lord's second coming, his appearance from heaven. But in the margin, against the patient waiting for Christ, it has this: the patience of Christ. In other words, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Be like him who is like that to you. The patience of Christ. That's perhaps the only verse in the New Testament which actually speaks about his patience in those terms, but what a beautiful thought, beautiful truth. And our hearts directed into that very patience, so that our hearts are like his heart, patient. The bruised reed, not broken. The smoking flax, not quenched. This is the believer in his far from ideal state. How it magnifies him who is perfect and ideal always. May we put our trust in him, and may we find him dealing with us like this, And may we deal with others in turn like this. And may Christ be the picture and the pattern always. Let us